This podcast homily is a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. It is prepared for use in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer readings for the season of Easter. Welcome to this podcast homily for the third Sunday after Easter. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church Ministry. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site. For the third Sunday after Easter, the epistle reading is again from the pen of St. Peter, this time 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 17, a lecture on submission to lawfully appointed civil authority, in other words, honor the king, and living a personal life by the commandments of God, or honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, so that by such instruction the Gentiles, that is, all the non-Jewish peoples of the world, may also glorify God by doing the same. St. Peter also counsels against using the liberty granted by civil authority, quote, as a cloak for maliciousness, unquote. The sub-message of the reading is to be ready at all times for what St. Peter calls the day of visitation, which is his own code phrase for the day of the Lord or second coming, in which the world will be judged not by civil law, but by God's law. In the prayer book version, St. Peter uses the phrase strangers and pilgrims, which in the New King James text is rendered more correctly as sojourners and pilgrims. I say more correctly because sojourners is an old Hebrew phrase which means one who is not a legal citizen of the land in which he or she resides. For example, Abraham, the patriarch of the Hebrew people, was a sojourner, as were the Hebrew people in the land of Egypt. Thus, sojourner gives a more accurate meaning, putting the phrase in the first century context more than the King James translation, stranger. He means that Christians are always sojourners or travelers in the secular world in whatever country you might be thinking about, whether in St. Peter's day, or in ours, or in any of the centuries in between. St. Peter's words are consistent with Jesus' advice to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. The Gospel reading for third Sunday after Easter is John 16, verses 16 to 22, in which Jesus speaks on the evening of Maundy Thursday of concepts of time which are unique to St. John's Gospel, but which confuse the listeners then and still confuses modern ears. How Jesus uses the various Greek words which are translated in the Western Bible as time in the Gospel of St. John is the focus of episode 43 in the AIC Bible Study Series, available on the Bible Study page at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net, and directly from our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/c /St. John C. That's with Saint spelled out. When he speaks of, quote, a little while and you shall see me no more, he is prophesying both his death upon the cross on Good Friday, which is the following day, and the day of Ascension, which is the official end of Easter season, and in which he would rise to rejoin the Father by whom he had been sent in the Incarnation. Modern minds, since the Renaissance in the Western Church, tend to think that time is a continuous progression along a straight line in which distance between any two points can be measured in minutes or hours or days or weeks or years. For much of the world, even today, Afghanistan, for example, this phrase is often used with impatient American soldiers. You have watches, we have time. In our modern age, we are so used to measuring time in finite increments, the seconds, minutes, months, days, weeks, that we forget that mechanical clocks were not invented until the 14th and 15th centuries in Western Europe. At the time the Gospels were written, and long before in the Old Testament, time was viewed as a series of episodes or ages, with little or no concern for or understanding of the amount of time, as we think of it, that passed between these episodes. For example, in the Old Testament, the writer says, quote, when Solomon was old. Note that they did not say when he was 57 or 67 or 87, just that he was old. Another example is Isaiah's vision of the throne of God in Isaiah 6. In that case, Isaiah does not say, for example, 451 years ago when King Uzziah died. Instead, he uses the concept of ages, saying that this vision occurred in the year King Uzziah died, so that the rule of Uzziah becomes the standard and not a specific year. Earlier in St. John's Gospel, when referring to concepts of time, and later in the Gospel of John when he does the same, Jesus uses the Greek word hora, which is usually translated as hour, as in, my hour is not yet come. But when Jesus says in our reading from John 16, verses 16 and 19, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, he uses another Greek word for time, mikron, M-I-K-R-O-N, which means an indefinite but short period of time. Had Jesus wished to refer to a specific and measurable piece of time, he would have used the Greek word kairos, K-I-R-O-S. Had he meant a much longer and indefinite time, he might have used aionios, from which we get the modern word eons, or perpetuity or eternity. The true meaning of mikron is that this a little while may seem long by the human standards of the listeners, but it is a tiny speck on the spectrum of God's time. It is helpful to remember that the scene in John 16 occurs before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. In other words, the disciples lacked the proper context for what he said to them, since they did not know the events that were coming. They were troubled by his lack of specificity as to the when he would be leaving them and the when he would see him, they would see him again. Lacking this context, they could not relate the idea of a little while to their own individual lives. In verse 16, he tells them that in a little while they will not see him again, but that in another little while they will see him again. Many church scholars believe that Jesus simply meant to tell them that they would literally see him again after his resurrection, an event which had not yet happened. He offers them comfort by telling them that they will suffer a period of weeping and lament, and predicting that the world will rejoice in his death in verse 20. He offers reassurance that just as the woman in childbirth suffers in the birth, afterward her anguish fades away and joy is born again at the beginning of a new life brought into the world. At the end of the reading, he tells them, though they did not understand what he meant at the time, that the joy for mankind made possible by his propitiatory death upon the cross is a kind of joy which cannot be taken away by any secular authority. Much later, St. Peter would write in one of his epistles of the, quote, lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an eternal, incorruptible, and undefiled inheritance that fadeth not away. Once again, there are two closing prayers. The first is a catena of my own composition based upon Psalm 46, verses 1, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. The second is the collect for the third Sunday after Easter, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the sacramentary of Pope Leo, who ruled in the mid-5th century, making this collect the oldest in the Book of Common Prayer. God is our hope and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. O come hither and behold the works of the Lord, what destruction he hath brought upon the earth. He maketh wars to cease in all the world, he breaketh the bow, nappeth the spear in sunder, and burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still, then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. And now the collect for the third Sunday after Easter. Almighty God, who showest to them that are in error the light of thy truth, to the intent that they may return into the way of righteousness, grant unto all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may avoid those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.